Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and this is Elite of the Week, where we answer the question, a bucket of blood, a pound of our flesh, a piece of our souls, it never comes back. Was it worth it? But before we get into all the shenanigans, hijinks, and flim-flam, let me bring on my colleague, Flo Bo Boyce.
I'm all about Flim Flam, baby. It's a brand new episode of Dynamite, this time at its regular slot on Wednesday. But will it be that way forever? We'll talk about it!
We got so much news to talk about. I love how AEW just sort of drops huge news and kind of lets it go like it's not a big deal. They'll go, by the way, here's a press release. No big deal. Before we get into that, though, how are you doing, buddy?
All things considered, I can't complain. I was just telling you a minute ago, I did a day trip to Vegas. I hadn't done one since my 20s, and I was exhausted then. I didn't think that would be a good idea, but I did it anyway. Spent the night in Vegas. So much fun to leave the house for the first time in a year and change. But, yeah, I am an old man, and my body is feeling it.
Yeah, I don't know about those day trips to Vegas anymore. I don't think that's something I can handle anymore. But good on you for giving it the old college try. Because college is when you do that. Yeah,
you're not wrong. You are not. I should have you my personal advisor. Jack, is it a good idea? You'd be like, no.
No, I'm at that age. I don't want to give my age away, but I am at that age where when I go to Vegas, I need a day off after I get back to recover.
Oh, absolutely. Pro tip.
I need to put that in front of all on the front end and back end of all of my time off is a day off to prep and to recover.
He's not going to say his age. He totally dated himself.
Yes. 100%. So let's get in here. Let's go. As Dylan Matthews says, I'm here. Let's go.
Oh, I thought it was Villain Matthews. I guess he changed his name back.
He's, you know what? On this show, he's one of the good guys. It's all a matter of perspective, Flobo. You're in the chat, by the way. Go ahead and let us know who your top three would be for the week as we get going here. Who your top three is based on this episode. Before we get into the countdown, though, we alluded to it a second ago. Some big news this week. AEW announced that in 2022, Dynamite would be moving to TBS. And a new AEW show, Rampage, would be coming to TNT on Fridays. Now, I haven't had a chance to read all of this in detail, but Flobo, just hearing that, what are some initial thoughts, changing channels, adding shows, etc.?
Yeah, well, I was a little bit surprised. Again, because I'm a big TV executive nerd. I tell this Jack all the time. I have not read the Nitro book. It is literally the next book in my queue. But like, I remember the days when Kevin Riley took over TBS, and one of the biggest things he did was to make sure at TNT and TBS, even though they were siblings, to have a distinct flavor and treat them as separate entities. So I would have not bet the house because I rent, but I would have bet my rent on the fact that they would never have crossed over. So the news that it was going to move over to TBS was surprising, not so much in a corporate sense, but oh my gosh, it's a new home at TBS needs the live entertainment. We all know wrestling shows and late night comedy shows are the cheapest to produce, maximum revenue. Why not give them a chance to excel? As far as Rampage, detail is still light, still kind of boilerplate, AEW stars in action, but the fact that another show is making the television to television is telling about the growth of the brand. So I'm excited.
I am a big fan that they're not doing 3-hour Dynamite if they're adding an extra hour. I like that they're splitting it up. It makes me wonder about the future of AEW Dark and AEW Dark Elevation, because between all four of those shows, they're getting to WWE levels of content every week, which is tough if you're a fan to be able to keep up with all of it. And I know they could say maybe you don't need to watch everything, but you do need to watch everything if you're a fan and you want to follow all this stuff. I feel like the move is probably more just programming based. I know a lot of people are probably like, AEW lost the war or whatever the case is. I think it's just a matter of programming. I don't think that AEW or WWE is really making decisions based on what the other guys are doing. Yeah, I think it's just a programming issue. I want to ask you, though, I'm a little bummed out they're moving Dynamite to TBS purely because I thought the idea of Dynamite on TNT was a fun play on words. right?
Oh, absolutely. I really think that that was to be the plan. I know there was always NBA playoffs because TNT's been home for NBA playoffs for like 15 years. So I understand there's going to be some light moving, but I had a feeling that, okay, there was Nitro and there was Dynamite. Kind of a nice throwback. Not in a bad way, not in a cheesy way, but in a Mustang way. That was, we acknowledge the past as we go into the future. But that said, hey, you know what? We'll learn to love it, you know?
Some quick rapid fire questions for you, though. The TNT title, does it become the TBS title going forward?
Oh, I was like, no, because it's still Dynamite, the show, but I don't see why not. Oh, that's a tough one. Okay, if I was Tony Khan, I would say, man, I would love to have all this hair. But if I was Tony Khan, I would keep with the TNT title.
He does have a very healthy head of hair, Tony Khan. Even, you know, I've got hair, but I'm still jealous of it. Jeez, I wish, you know, it's just thick.
Yeah, man, volume, baby, volume. Yeah.
And next on the voluminous hair podcast, Griff Garrison. Right. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show, as we always call it. Flobo, for anyone who's new to the show, can you explain how this show, Elite of the Week, works?
It will be my pleasure. First of all, thank you, and check out the show. Leave a comment, 5 stars if you can. But here's the deal. Jack Farmer has painstakingly watched every single second of Dynamite and is trying to do have a little bit of a running tally each week and year long for the top 10 superstars or tag teams or even people that may not even be wrestlers like Papa Buck. And he's going to rank them from 1 to 10, with number 1 getting 10 points, number 2 getting 9 points, all the way down in reverse order, sort of like Formula 1. And at the end of the year, in a fantastic special we haven't planned out yet, Jack Farmer is going to crown the most elite of the elite. So yeah, not only that, there's also bonus segments like Farmer's Market, or you even get a point for successful title defenses, or my personal favorite, Best Dress, because it should be me every week. I look snazzy. But there's one caveat to all that. You can actually lose points with something called the Dud of the Week, where you have the worst outing. It's minus 1 point. It's a lot of fun and a lot of math, too.
If there's one thing I know fans of pro wrestling like, it's math. Scott Steiner proved that, and I think that I use similar formulas for putting this all together myself.
It is definitely one of the most innovative and inspiring lines ever. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning, could be used for anything. I'm running for president now, guys.
Well, let's go ahead and get this going. I feel like we've given all the kids enough time to settle in and find their seats. We're going to start it off with number one, John Moxley and Eddie Kingston, with Wild Thing blaring through the loudspeakers, signaling the duo of death. These two blend together so well into a hybrid of vicious junkyard dog brutality and good times with your old chums in a way I don't think I've ever seen before. Their ability to bend, not break, the rules using the boombox and getting a big win tonight and putting themselves as the top of the tag team rankings to be the next to get a shot at the titles, making me think maybe the Young Bucks weren't really the winners tonight, especially after Kingston and Moxley came out and left the Young Bucks lane before stealing those Nike Diors. And I don't even think that they're going to wear those shoes. I don't even think they're going to eBay those shoes. Something tells me those shoes are now living high above a street wrapped around a power line. And power is the name of the game. And that's why they're number one on Elite of the Week. Flobo.
Well, I got to say, man, I think number one is pretty favorable. On my personal Elite of the Week list, I have them at number three because it's a small caveat. And here's the reason why. You know, that Max Caster, I tell you what. You know, the Acclaimed are one of the most spectacular tag teams. Everyone says that they're going to be the next big thing. I kind of agree to them. They're very homegrown in that sense. But if you rag on a man's wife, you best believe you're going to get your face bashed in. That's exactly what happened today. So I'm not going to give any kind of discredit to Eddie Kingston and John Moxley, but it's kind of expected. You went into the hornet's nest. Like, it's a literal madman. It was like, your wife gave me...
You know? Yeah, I mean, like, that's a bold thing to say to anybody, but to someone like John Moxley, of all people, someone who's going to bust a light bulb over your head or hit you with thumbtacks or I don't know what he does, some terrible torture device from the medieval times. I don't know. That was a very bold move of him to call out John Moxley's wife of all people is what I'm saying. I'm saying if you called out someone who's maybe a little less dangerous, it's still a bold move. But John Moxley of all people, come on.
I was almost like a self-dud of the week. I was like, wow, I was pretty early. Like, I was pretty early. Like, what are you doing, bro?
No, no. Abort, abort.
Yeah, bad idea.
Even his partner, Bowens, was like, I feel like he was thinking, you know what, man, I got to get out of here. I've got somewhere to be. I left a cake in the oven.
Cake. Rapper Bakers, I love it.
So I got a question for you, though, about Moxley and I guess Eddie Kingston. Coming out to Wild Thing now. I love John Moxley's old music. I thought it fit him to a T. But Wild Thing's kind of fun. How do you feel about the change in the music?
I'm a little bearish on it. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think having a different entity for Eddie Kingston is great. John Moxley is great. But it kind of takes a bit of a sheen off retroactive with the last week, when Moxley was defending the IWGP or United States Championship. I felt that was kind of like a nice side quest. Now it's kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll sing along to it, but I want to see these guys like rip people apart, which is what I don't think Wild Thing's about. Unless they go the other direction, become like so off the wall zany, they're hilarious, like their promo was. I thought it was pretty funny. So if they're going that direction, I'm okay with it. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, eh, but
yeah, like I said, I'm torn because I can already tell, and you could hear it tonight. Crowds are going to be singing along with that song. They're going to love it. It's going to be great as they're going back out into the world. But again, I was a fan of his old stuff. This feels more fun and kind of silly. And I think I would rather him be more dangerous and more scary. But again, like I said, in my sort of my write-up about him, they are kind of old chums. So I guess maybe it fits. I don't know. Maybe I just need to get used to it.
The thing about Moxley and Kingston, they're just so good together. If they're not doing things for comedy, if they're being serious, it works. And frankly, as someone who likes, personally, as someone who likes wrestling for characters, there are a lot of meta characters in AEW. There's Chris Jericho, there's the Young Bucks. I mean, even Ethan Page on some level is self-referential. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would love to have someone be fully into that fringe character. And I think I still prefer it as well. But it's hard not to mention the fact, for both men, it feels like a side quest. It feels like a spinoff, really, because they both are been threatening that title picture for so long that this tag team is fun. So kind of I'm okay with it at a capsule level, if that makes sense.
Well, it does give them something to do outside of where they'd been for so long. So this is a refreshing thing for them, I think. And their promos backstage are so fun and so silly. They're so simple, though. The way Eddie Kingston is like, he's a rapper and a rapper's friend.
Yeah, well, that's how I am. I roll with you, yeah.
Yeah, it's so simple, but it's so delivered so well. Those guys are so talented. I feel like you could really put them anywhere and they're going to excel, but I like it. I think it's fun. And yeah, number one on Elite of the Week. Good for them. This is the biggest accolade I think you could ask for as a wrestler, so they must be really stoked.
Now, question.
Yeah.
Is this considered a separate entity than these two men individually? Like, no. If John Moxley points?
That is a great question. As of now, they're considered separate entities. They're still considered individuals.
Okay, cool.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Once they, basically to pull back the curtain a little bit, whenever I give a tag team their rankings, so like the Lucha Bros, let's say, I basically give the points to both Penta and Phoenix.
Okay.
If that makes sense. That way, because they split, you know, with tag teams in AEW, they go both ways sometimes where they'll be together for a while and then they'll be separate for a while and they'll come back together for a while. And it becomes a little too weird if you're trying to keep that as, like, again, using Lucha Bros as the example, like a Lucha Bros team, like points, and then Pentagon and Phoenix points. You would never get, they would never have a chance if that as a top.
Right.
To win, because they'd be dividing their points too much. If that
and
makes sense.
And just triangle points. Got it.
Yeah. Well, for the big teams like that, I don't do it. So like I guess you're right. I do, because I give it their team, so I separate it. But I guess what I was trying to say is I don't consider Death Triangle a tag team, like the New Day, for instance, where they're all one team. I still consider it Lucha Bros and Pac.
Yeah, agreed.
So Speaking of teams, I want to give a shout out, obviously, to everyone who's watching along with us and everyone in the chat. Heywood, Dylan, all the usuals. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show, watching along. And if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple, thank you as well. Of course, this is where I ask if you could please just give us a like, hit the little thumbs up, leave a comment after, maybe leave a comment with who you thought your top three were. That would be great to hear and see what you guys think. Also, leave a 5-star review. Those are really powerful in helping us on Apple Podcasts, especially to get noticed, and that's always appreciated.
Do it.
Speaking of getting noticed, Flobo, someone got noticed today.
Tell me.
Number two is Serena Deeb. It was great to see Deeb back in the ring after her injury, and she didn't look like she missed a beat. Really looked sharp throughout the match and showed all of the different attributes she has, from speed to striking to strength with that big power bomb. But the championship pedigree really showed through when she locked in the Serenity Lock, and even after Red Velvet was able to break the hold, Deeb was able to re-engage the assault on the knee, get her back in the lock, and seal the deal for an NWA championship retention. Now, we haven't seen the NWA champion on AEW in a long time because of an injury, but she came back and got a big win. Do you think that puts her in a top three spot?
Interesting choice. I did not have Serena Deeb on my list, but the fact you mentioned it, I have to give it to her because, yes, there was that time period of her being on television, but it says a lot if you're able to come back and still be informed. Now, Red Velvet, we'll get to that just a little bit later, had her own issues in that match today, but Serena Deeb really is a hidden gem, which I think was kind of what the NWA Women's Title Division is within the AEW Women's Title Division, a bunch of hidden gems, a bunch of talent that we maybe overlooked for all the wrong reasons because they're so great in the ring. But we got Technical Classic, and that's what Serena Deeb was given. It's been consistent. It's been reliable. And so, you know what? You basically convinced me. I must revise my number two then.
Yeah, the someone like Red Velvet, and let's talk about her real quick. I think that she's done such a stellar job of standing out and really stepping up to some big spots like this, whether it's stepping up to a Jade Cargill and Shaquille O'Neal or now the NWA champion. She always finds herself against the very toughest, and while she doesn't necessarily have the biggest win-loss record or the best win-loss record in these situations, I think it says a lot that she is always the person they go to for these big matches.
Oh, absolutely. I think it takes a lot to be a formidable person that still hangs, right? I can tell you in my athletic career as a kid, which lasts a couple months, I was a terrible football player, but the fact that I was the biggest person on the team says a lot to say, hey, look, we trust you to put out there. I'm not saying Red Velvet was big. Don't try to make me in trouble here. But it says a lot when a team, a manager, any kind of group says, look, we have Jade Cargill's coming with Shaq. Hey, look, Serena Deeb is back from injury. We're going to give you an opportunity to see what you can do on this stage. And that means they have faith in what Red Velvet can do. And she has all the tools, size, strength. No one looks quite like her on the roster. Her name is Red Velvet. I mean, come on, man. Like, it's only a matter of time.
She's going to be a big deal in AEW, but I also don't want to brush over Serena Deeb too much. I'm very curious to see how the next few months will go for her with AEW. Now that NWA is also back up and running, I wonder if we're going to see more of her or if this may be a last, kind of the last time we see her. It's a weird thing coming out of the lockdown and the quarantine. I don't know what the deal was with AEW, but it'll be interesting to see how that, what would I prefer
as a fan, would you prefer the working relationship for the both promotions or have Serena Deeb go back to NWA, rebuild the walls, close the forbidden door?
I think it's working great so far. I don't think it hurts in any way. Right now, you're getting great matches between great competitors. I don't know why you'd ever stop that. But again, I always say, and I've said this about weight classes and everything else, I've always said I want to be able to take everyone and just shake them up and see what matches we can have. So sure. That's, I guess, my mentality. I'd say, yeah, I wish every forbidden door was open and we were getting a big mix of everything. Now, I can understand why certain businesses would say that's not a good idea for them. But for me as a fan, yeah, let's keep it open. Let's keep trading people back and forth. I'd love to see Britt Baker on NWA or see more of the talent from NWA on AEW.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I agree with you 100%.
So let's keep on going. Speaking of 100%, has nothing to do with the transition, but I say speaking of, and it gets us over to the next thing.
I'm totally listening. I'm on home bated breath.
Number three is Miro thanking Jesus to start a promo about beating the brakes off of people is a pretty spirited choice. Forgiving and threatening all at the same time. This unpredictable, unhinged Miro is even more than we could have anticipated from the best man on his arrival. And in one of his best impromptu promo moments in a long time said, "Here's your Darby," to the fans chanting Darby's name as he held up the TNT title, then went on to punk Jake the Snake and Lance Archer in a way that even made the Murder Hawk monster take pause, which, look, regardless of Lance Archer's win-loss records and big spots, is something no one else has been able to do. Now, Flobo, it takes a lot to get this high up in the rankings with just a promo, but I felt like Miro came off as the most dominant and frightening force in AEW today.
I just want you to give me all the speeches, man. If I ever get a new job or anything, I want you to give me that perfect wrap-up. I agree with you. Look, I was one of those guys. I complained about Miro. I complained about Archer. I complained about a lot of things, all right? I'm a wrestling fan. We're never happy. But in the past 2 weeks, Miro basically found a way to reboot himself while not discounting what Miro was before. Like, he was still the best man, but now he's doing this. And I'll be honest with you, between writing notes and making snacks and eating said snacks, sometimes my eyes aren't looking quite at the screen. It's natural. It happens. Any wrestling fan who sits like this all hour is lying to you. But when I heard "thank Jesus," I was like, what? It made me stop. Like, what am I watching? And I was like, you know what? That's what we need. We need more people to go, what is going on right now on screen? Popcorn, what's going on? I enjoyed the segment. I also enjoyed punking out Lance Archer. So I was totally entertained throughout the entire time.
I have to give you a shout out as well. The spirited choice thing, yes. Obviously, I stole from you. That's one of your lines. But respect. It played with the Jesus comment. Come on. Spirited choice. But you're right. There's something about him. And like I said, he's unhinged in the sense that, like, he's forgiving Darby, but he's also going to take whatever he wants. He's got this, like, you don't want to be around him because you don't know what he's going to do. Right. And he's built like a tank. So you're thinking, if he wants to take something from someone, he certainly can. He's the only guy I think that Lance Archer is going to be getting in the ring with since he came to AEW. And I haven't researched this, but just thinking back, I don't think Lance Archer's ever been in a match with someone who might be able to actually beat the brakes off of him. I think Miro might be able to throw Lance Archer around.
And so, to my point earlier in this episode, this is kind of the opposite of what's going on with Moxley, right? Miro came in very self-referential, very meta, as they say, very Deadpool-like. And now, yeah, I could see this guy. I mean, his fists are huge. He could probably break a couple of orbital bones if you give him a chance to. So, yes, I agree with you. I do think he could totally snap Lance Archer like a twig across his back with his knee. Deep cut reference if you get that one. With his knee. Bam!
Yeah, it's interesting because, again, a lot of people were very upset about the way Miro came in. And I was one of the people, and I don't mean to make this sound like an I told you so kind of thing, but I was like, give it time. You got to let it marinate for a little bit. And I think him coming in as silly at first and that slow descent into Miro madness, I'll call it, is what is making this great. I think if he just came in and day one beat Darby Allin for the title and then said, "I want to thank Jesus for beating people," we would just go, okay, what's he doing? But because of the slow introduction and the slow kind of get to where we're at, it makes this new Miro just seem a little more crazy than if he had debuted this way.
You're absolutely saying I told you so, Jack, but it's fine. It's a Jack Farmer production. You can do whatever you want, baby. Yeah. You know? No, you're right. I mean, look, I in the moment, I was like, get on with it. The best man, and that best man story was like 4 months. He's playing video games. He's streaming on camera. If that was intentional, and I don't know, I'm never in the writing room, but if that was intentional, then that's a masterstroke. Because now I'm like, okay, that stuff was playtime. This is what Miro's really about. If it's happenstance, I'm not saying it isn't conclusive. That's no other issue. But if it was intentional, I'll give you props and the writer's props and the producer's props.
Something I'm loving about this too is there's a lot of stuff going in the background with Miro right now that they're not being very heavy-handed about, but right now, Miro just took the title from Darby Allin, and he's still kind of calling out Darby Allin a little bit, talking about going to make your gritty student films. Darby is friends with Sting. Sting is someone that Lance Archer is showing more and more respect for as Miro is about to have the match with Archer. I like that this seems a little connected, and they have a lot of different ways this could all play out. I think looking at the match, it looks like I would bet on Miro right now with his momentum and everything else going into his match with Lance Archer, but a lot of stuff could happen based on everything that's going on in the background.
You'd be a fool to vote for everybody else. Look, I like Sting as much as the next guy. I'm not so sure what Sting looks like now with an upcoming matchup. But yeah, if you're a betting man, get the guy who has the gold and the traps to totally kick your ass. Why not?
I don't know how Miro hears anything with those traps blocking his ears
as I had cake for breakfast.
Yeah. They're like up here. It's right. You know, I don't think I've seen traps like that since old school Goldberg days. But,
oh yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Man, old school Goldberg had me doing shrugs like crazy. I had no chance of getting those traps, young Jack. What were you thinking? Yeah, I would have looked great with you with traps, but I want to move on to the best dressed. Someone else who looked great tonight.
How's that, Jack?
The best dressed, Rebel. It was great to see Rebel in ring gear and competing in a match. She's been incredibly entertaining alongside Britt Baker, but seeing her in the ring and in the ring gear was a nice step in her getting to shine on her own, and I hope we get to see her competing more in the future. Flobo, I usually pick someone that has some fancy thing or whatever, but to me, just I think seeing her actually in ring gear was really cool because it meant she wasn't just being thrown into something. She was competing. She was a competitor tonight, and I liked that.
I don't know how to say this, but for best dress, I have Rebel, not Reba, as well. Because I agree with you. Because here's the reason why. The last time we saw her, she was in street clothes, totally sucking, right? So we're seeing the progression of her becoming a wrestler. That's that long-term storytelling I love so much. And it was great. So yes, I have Rebel, not Reba, as my best dress as well.
I am shocked that we agree on a best
the show's
dress.
Over. We're canceled, guys. There's nothing, no more conflict.
I think this is just proof that Roger was what was driving a wedge between us this entire time.
That's what I'm saying. I love SCU. No,
that's what he gets for not being on the show. We're going to bury him tonight.
I think I'm back for the strap.
No, he's out doing some fun stuff that I'm sure he'll tell us about next week. But in any case, yeah, I think, like you said, like it's one thing, like she's a great wrestler. It's great. Like we've known that she can go in the ring and she can wrestle. But every time she's been in the ring, it's to your point, it's always in street clothes, which makes it feel a little bit like she's not really stepping into the ring. Right. Mm-hmm. This was like, no, she's a competitor. And I thought her ring gear looked cool too. So.
Oh yeah. Kind of matches Britt Baker, but doesn't. It works.
Yeah. How do you explain that to someone? Like when you're like, this is what I'm thinking. I don't even know how you would explain ring gear like that to somebody to design it. Maybe you just say, I need to make it look like I would be tag teaming with Britt Baker, and then a designer who knows what they're doing does it.
Yeah, I want Britt Baker, but make it fashion.
Ouch. So let's move on. We're going to go to number four. The Young Bucks, the angelic looking Young Bucks, are lucky they are as good as they are, because through most of this match, they look to be getting in their own way a lot, and at times almost outsmarted themselves with the spray cans and tripping over the ropes. But the veteran wherewithal allowed them to come out on top of a match against a very game team of up and comers in the Varsity Blondes. Now, Flobo, I feel like you're going to be mad about this one. You're not going to like this pick. Bye. But at the end of the day, the big thing here is they defended the tag team titles against the number one contenders in a main event.
True.
They weren't the most dominant tonight. Like I said, they kind of tripped all over themselves at points. But a win is a win is a win, right?
You know, like I said, it's one of those interdimensional things that I bet if I look at things objectively, I would say the effort was well enough to be on a list. But I'm such a big Young Bucks hater that I would never put them on a list. I think they did okay. I think they're fine. They canceled SCU last week. They got the win this week, but they lost their shoes in it. So I'm not sure if that counts against them or for them. But hey, look, they are the champs for a reason. So why not?
It would have been great if I put Moxley and Kingston in the best dress because they've got these sick new Nikes.
Got a good deal on them too. It was great.
That would have actually been hilarious, but it's a missed opportunity now. Yeah, I feel like this is one of those ones that, you know, like I said, I was surprised they struggled as much as they did. And they did get choked out at the end. Otherwise, they'd probably be up higher on the list. But it is, you know, I mean,
even higher if you get choked out, bro. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, could you imagine this an MMA show? Like, yeah, he'd been higher if he didn't get choked out and the other fighter stole his shoes.
dead status.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate punking out. But let's keep on going here. At number five, Chris Jericho. Tonight, Jericho didn't just accept a challenge with incredibly high stakes. He cut a world-class promo that was exceptionally powerful. Fun wordplay is always entertaining. Great put-downs always get fun reactions. But this was visceral. This was real. There was an emotion in what he was saying. And while he's not Hangman Adam Page, something about this gave me vibes of an old gunslinger who knows that one day his posse will go on their last ride. And if it's going to be a double or nothing, come hell or high water, they're going to go out in a blaze of glory and they'll make sure every round is fired before letting the new sheriff bring them in. Flobo.
Five places in, not one mention of Christian Cage, but that's okay. Look, the promo was great. It was solid. I love the stakes of it all, right? Here is the next pay-per-view on the horizon. Here's a chance the Inner Circle could be dissolved, could be made into dust, and stakes are high, because let's be real. The Inner Circle was a team that was essentially day one, if not day two, of AEW. It is as legacy-filled as the promotion itself, which says a lot for Chris Jericho's career and legacy and the other men in that squad. This could be the end of it. But that said, it was just a promo. It wasn't a match. It wasn't a beatdown. I mean, it wasn't a pyrotechnic fill. It wasn't a sit-down package with Tony Schiavone of Schiavone. It was a promo. And so I'm not disagreeing with you. I do think it's kind of high, though.
It's interesting you talk about the history of the Inner Circle, because literally today I was watching this. And for those of you who have been watching this show and all of its previous versions, we used to work with an amazing journalist, Jessica, who never watched wrestling, but she jumped on board to start watching AEW and be a part of this. And so she saw the Inner Circle start, and it was this big, powerful thing. And it made me wonder, because I know she's probably not watching anymore, but if she turned it on and saw the Inner Circle beaten and broken and hanging on, what her thoughts would be about what's happened since she stopped watching. And how interesting that would be, if that makes sense.
There's only two ways to find out.
What are those? A DM and a...
Ask Jessica. That's one of them.
Yeah. Well, what's the other way?
Google it. I have no idea. No, I mean, yeah, you got to find out. We got to get contact with Jessica, see what she says. Just show her clips from this week. And then I'm curious, too. It's a good proposition. Because it is kind of interesting. You can drop off, come back, and be like, oh...
Yeah, I mean, I try to imagine, because very few stables in wrestling go through that full transition. Usually it's things start to go south and it ends pretty hard. You know, you look at, you know, across the battlefield or whatever we're going to call it, you know, Undisputed Era, they're great. And then things get rocky, boom, it's over. Right. Where this has been sort of a slow wheels falling off situation, another team taking over, they're getting outdone at their own game, things like that. It'd be interesting to see that happened to them, if that having happened to them, if that makes sense.
Sure, absolutely.
To your point, you know, you make some good points here. I guess for me, Jericho always finds ways to put some fun and laughter in what he's saying, but this was just all heat, all anger, all emotion, all this is the end. And to me, I guess it struck maybe as a guy who's been watching Jericho since he debuted out in WCW. you know, I there's that little emotional heartstring that got pulled a little bit, especially when he was standing backstage with Dean Malenko. And he said, "You're talking to the man of 1,000 holds." And Dean Malenko said, "You got 4 more than me." And Jericho said, "I forgot some."
Right. So a perfect example. When I heard that, I was like, you know, I'm not hoping they lose, but I'll be okay if the Inner Circle disband. I think every man that grown exponentially, they can all go off and do other things. They've changed individually since being in that group. Like, they'll be okay if it were to be disbanded.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't want to see him go. I've been a fan of them since day one, but it feels like a good story is being told, and it's been a fun ride. So whatever happens at Double or Nothing, I'm going to be happy. But speaking about being happy no matter what, Flobo, I think you're going to be happy. Number 6, Christian Cage. This was
the most
impressive performance to date for Christian Cage here in AEW, matching up with an industry veteran that pushed the gas pedal. It was a great strategy by Matt Sydal, but to push the pace here, but Christian Cage was able to keep up and find a spot to hit the unprettier and get a win in our opener. Now, Christian Cage starts the show. I think when you have a veteran who's been around for a while, I would think that the first thing you would do in the old strategy department is try to outpace him, try to gas him out, try to wear him down. Matt Sydal did that. He was going fast. He was moving quickly. I think Matt Sydal actually showed us all why he's always been such a great talent. But Christian Cage, that veteran wherewithal, mentioning it again, came out ahead. Now is your time to gloat.
I would never gloat. Who do you think I am? Okay, I'll tell you, I'm going to gloat. Christian Cage. No, I mean, look, let's be honest with you. He's always number one on my list. Every week he's on, he'd be always number one. Maybe number one forever and ever and ever. It's going to be a top 2 through 9 from now on. But the match itself is right. One of the most completed performances. And I'm being completely unbiased here because I have more time to say stuff. So I have to like get my stuff in there. Christian's return has been good. It has not been great. It has been good. He's had a couple promos. He had a couple exhibition matches with guys like Kazarian. He was a real chance of Matt Sydal. Even if you didn't know who Matt Sydal was before, he was featured for about a year. Still kind of fresh in the minds of AEW audience in the first match after all of the announcements was going on with the company. So you can imagine there's going to be a little bit of a bump there. People checking it out. What does AEW mean? What's Dynamite? They had a lot of pressure on them. And the match did well to show that Christian can still go at this level. This is why he was always number one for me. I'm glad he's on the list. But yes, you got to give some credit because Christian did not wrestle himself to Matt Sydal.
You know, I was joking around with you before the show as the guy who wants to outwork everyone. I think he opened the show so that he could be done and go home early.
Yeah. Yeah, those ladles at catering are pretty heavy. You know what I'm saying? I gotta make sure. Ladles. I gotta outwork everybody the way out of here.
It's funny how certain words like ladles instantly paint the entire picture of what that looked like. I can instantly see it perfectly, exactly what that situation is.
A carpal load, man. Out the way, open the show.
But as much as I like to pick fun at Christian Cage and the whole outwork everyone and then only wrestling 3 times in 6 months, as Dylan Matthews says, like I said, the thing that really impressed me is this was fast paced. It was very quick. And it, again, something you always see with a lot of the guys who've been around for a while, they like to slow the pace down and be more methodical. And I don't know, maybe Christian Cage wanted that, but Matt Sydal brought the heat and he said, okay, if we're going fast, we're going fast. And he didn't miss a beat. And as much as I like to tease Christian Cage on the show, cause I know you love him. So I've got to, you know, poke some fun at him.
Hater.
I mean, I've got to be honest. This is an honest show. I think he's earned this spot. And it did hurt him a little bit, taking a bit of a beat down and getting saved and upstaged a little bit by Hangman Adam Page at the end there. But overall, great performance by him.
He has points. And not dud points because they're negative. He has points. That's all that matters. I'll take it.
If he gets the number 6 spot maybe 5 more times, maybe he'll be back at 0.
I know. You hate him.
Speaking of duds, though, it's time for the dud of the week. Flobo, I don't like giving a dud of the week. It always makes me feel bad. I don't know what we're going to call this if we have to start factoring in Rampage. I don't know what the opposite of a Rampage is.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, it's Dud of the Week. It's the Dynamite that didn't go off. This week's Dud of the Week is Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
Wow.
These guys came out, cut a hell of a promo, said they were going to destroy Sting, destroy Darby Allin before Sting and Darby Allin showed up and beat the crap out of them, beating them to a pulp so bad they tried running away, and the Dark Order punked them out in the entrance tunnels. If you're going to talk smack, don't get smacked right after you're done talking. This was the classic example of saying, I can beat this dude up, and then just getting wrecked yourself. It was a bad look, Flobo, and that's why they're the Dud of the Week.
I mean, maybe this had a really bad prediction. They felt their bones in a shot. Oh, no, Sting hurts. Okay, you know what? I'll give it to you. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I had Red Velvet as Dud of the Week. And not so much for her performance this week, because, again, we said it earlier, she has all the tools. She's fantastic in the ring. The match could have been a classic had it given more time. But I always felt that Red Velvet always comes up short. And in today, if you were a Red Velvet fan, how many losses can you withstand? No matter how good the outing was, you have to question whether or not she has this for the right camp, the right nutrition plan, the right reset. You know what I mean? So that's why I had it as my Dud. But yeah, Ethan Page and those loud-ass shirts, I'll totally accept that as well.
Yeah, I get your point with Red Velvet. It's one of those things, though, I guess, and maybe you'll appreciate this because I know you're a fan of the Mets, but it's one of those things where sometimes your team making it to the big game is enough. And I think this was kind of a situation for her where even though she came up short, she made it to the championship. She made it to the end. And so I guess I give her some slack there. I think getting a title shot is still a win, whether you come away with the title or not.
It can be, but Red Velvet's record going into that was like, what, 1-4 of her last five?
You mean on Dynamite?
On Dynamite, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because she definitely does good work on Dark and Elevation. She puts in the matches there. And
oh, she just has TV fright? Is that what it is? TV cameras?
It's because when the sun's out, she's great. But then when the sun goes down, that's what happens.
Solo-powered Red Velvet?
That sounds like a horrible Tesla product tie-in.
Yeah,
I'm solar powered.
Oh my gosh.
So in any case, I don't know. You talk trash, you get beat up right away. It wasn't even later in the night, I guess, is the thing. It was like, yeah, I'm the reason you lost the title. Oh yeah, that's right. Whack.
Yes. Punches are weak against those.
Well, moving on. Number 7. MJF, another great promo at a fancy restaurant, basically saying this new unit, the Pinnacle, isn't going to be about fun and games. It's not going to be about Dippin' Dots and mimosas or dinner debonair or pineapple Pete's. This was more than fancy words. This was a premonition. This was letting us know there will be no silver linings to the clouds looming on the horizon once the Pinnacle takes over permanently. And I think that means something.
It does mean something. I just kind of like, man, this group never talks about their portfolios or sports or their kids. They're just mad all the time. No, it was a fantastic segment. I loved it. MJF was a star. We all knew that going in, but definitely felt like a show within a show. Very analogous to some of the storylines across the pond on the Wednesday Night War or what have you, or the Stanford War or what have you. I liked it. Again, MJF wasn't on my list, but I can't argue with your reasoning here.
It'd be funny. I'd love to see like Wardlow being like, hey, so I've been working on my cabinetry and I made these great cabinets.
Shut up, Wardlow.
Shut up, Wardlow. We're trying to talk about the inner circle again. Like Wardlow always has all these like really cool side hobbies that he's doing. That he's like really interested in. Yeah. Check out my origami cranes. Shut up, Wardlow.
My stamp collection. Get out of here.
Look at all these butterflies.
So anyway, Chris Jericho's
it's all these really delicate all these really delicate hobbies he has. I started off with carpentry or making cabinets, but then we got very
my sourdough starter.
Yeah. Guys, I taught myself how to build a computer. Isn't that pretty cool? Shut up, Wardlow. And he just looks sad. Like, oh,
I have no friends.
That's why he doesn't talk as much, is because every time he brings up one of his cool side hobbies, they're like, shut up.
Dude, that would totally be like on brand. Like, I would be like the novelization of the sitcom comedy cartoon version of it. Just him just building shit.
Right. He's like, yeah, he's building stuff. And then Sean Spears like, tell me when you build a chair, loser. Oh, okay. Poor Wardlow. I love Wardlow. Maybe we'll get to see some of his hobbies down the road. But let's move on. We're going to go to number 8. It's the Acclaimed jumping off the screen as soon as they enter the arena with raps that are the perfect combination of cringy and great. These guys check all the boxes for as good as they are right now. I can't help but think that where they will be in a few years will be so much farther than what we see today. They held their own against the ruthless team of Moxley cheating with a boombox. They probably would have won if that hadn't happened, and they would have gone on to face the Young Bucks for the tag team titles. It's not happening now, but I have a feeling it's going to be happening sooner rather than later. Flobo, you talked about the Acclaimed a little bit, but you think maybe this is a little too far down the list?
They're a runner-up for my dead of the week just because how silly they were acting. I mean, come on, bro. But I gotta say this, man. It was kind of heartbreaking today to watch. Not the match. The match is great. Match. But at the end of it, where Tony Schiavone was like, so anyway, Eddie Kingston and John Moxley are going to the pay-per-view. It was like, oh, like, damn. Like, it was like so much of a footnote for them. So if they weren't going to be duds, I wouldn't put them on the list as well because, again, their stock is pretty much – they've been cleared off the board being the number one contender presumptively. So, like, I kind of feel sorry for those guys, to be honest with you.
You're not wrong. And – you make a lot of good points there. Maybe I think when I was watching this match, I just see such a bright future for both of them.
Fair enough.
That it sort of bumps up. I hate saying this because it feels like it's such an easy comparison, but I really get, you know, Doctor of Thugonomics vibes from Caster, where I could see him. If you can do these kind of raps, you have to be clever. And he sounds good on the microphone, whatever he's saying. So I can imagine him cutting all types of different promos down the road. He's also got the size and the look, and the same thing for Bowens as well. Looks great, wrestles well. I kind of see that being sort of like the Batista in Evolution, where like this is just a part of his career and what sort of gets him going before he does his real big thing down the road.
Yeah. Deacon.
The Deacon. Yeah, well,
I don't know. He's coming.
That would be so great if for a throwback SmackDown or something, Batista came back as the Deacon.
I actually like that gimmick, man. I do. Because I've been to church. The dude that held the box looked like him. Yo, about time you tied, brother.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm just flashback. Yeah,
with the contacts in and everything. Like, and like leaning in.
Yeah, that's why Miro's so mad.
You pull cash out and then like on like you like the 20s on top and you're like crap.
Is that all you're gonna give him the plate this week,
yeah,
brother?
Because then you open it and you take the one out instead and you put the one in there and that
getting jumped for Jesus. Love it.
Yeah, jumped for Jesus. That's gotta be Miro's new cash price, jumped for Jesus.
Oh my goodness, we're canceled. We're canceled.
We're done. Okay, well, there goes everything.
Yep.
Speaking of there goes everything, number 9, the Varsity Blondes started the show with a great promo saying who they were and why they're here, and I dig the addition of Julia Hart to the team. This is a team that was two random guys thrown together that so many people complain about, but they put in the time, worked on their chemistry, and they ate a lot of losses on Dark for a long time before reversing that momentum and getting the dubs and finding themselves in title contention. They didn't get the win tonight, but they solidified themselves as the breakout team of the tag team division. Is this a fair spot for a team that lost tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I was just about to say today, I was like, hey, the Varsity Blondes, they're all right. You know, not to compare them wrestling-wise. Please, wrestling fans, don't come after me. But
Heywood says, Flobo, watch out. Lightning is coming.
We're all getting smited. They remind me of a Steiner Brothers, you know? Kind of like this, like complimentary but different but similar idea. Imagine buying the merch. Imagine kids growing up like that for Halloween. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like the idea of them. And so I'm not sure if they're quite there yet. I think if I had to put together a who's who, I would pick like the acclaimed over Varsity Blondes. But that's a very small difference now. A year from now, they may be a rank and file, a week in, the week out option for that tag team division.
Yeah, what I like about them right now, too, is I love it when you have someone who's relatively new and that we're still kind of learning who they are, but you can look at them and you immediately get it. I get what they are. I get what they're doing. I get what they're presenting themselves as. And so I like that for someone who's making that transition from Dark to Dynamite, especially for a lot of new viewers who are seeing them and may not know who Griff Garrison is, may not know who Brian Pillman Jr. is. And I know the Dark Side of the Ring came out with Brian Pillman, and that's probably giving him a little bit more, a few more eyeballs. But I think he's really shaping up to be a guy on his own. And I liked his promo basically saying, my dad's not who got me in the business. He's who kept me out of it. I think that's an interesting story to tell as well.
Absolutely. I think that is when I was like, oh, I get it. Imagine having that.
Hashtag jump for Jesus.
It's a thing now. imagine having that backstory with your dad going into it anyway and still choosing the name. I mean, he could have been somebody else. He could have been, you know, any kind of fake name. So, like, that to me says a lot about his story and why he still wants to have that legacy or even a different legacy if need be.
Yeah, I think big things are on the horizon for them. Speaking of some of big things on the horizon, at number 10, it's Anthony Ogogo. Survived a quick flurry of offense, but you don't know quick until you see the hands of a boxer in action. Got bloodied and still threw knockout haymakers. Didn't wow with wrestling, but he's not a wrestler. He's a boxer, and that's going to be a big problem for all of the wrestlers on the AEW roster. You're not a big fan of Ogogo.
I'm not a big fan of Ogogo, but today I had him at number two. I had him number two for a bunch of reasons. Because look, the match against Cody Rhodes is going to slap in a different way. It isn't going to be like, oh my gosh, it's Moxley versus Cody. It's going to be different because, you know, whether or not you agree with the storyline of the American Dream or what that stands for, or the flag stuff, which is always a tenuous battle in wrestling, here is somebody which 3 months ago was a guy in the back. Like, he was, that's a different personality, but he was like a third option in that group. And instantly, overnight, which is a lot for someone that young, to come out and to be the flag bearer for this group. He has QT Marshall hanging out there, but I think it becomes a threat. And here's someone taking a move that's seemingly basic, the punch, because the wrestling is supposed to be open fist or whatever, to the point where people are selling it, doubling over in pain. This may be a short-term thing. It may blow up like a supernova, but on that road to it, this already feels like a marquee matchup. You want to see Cody Rhodes beat this guy into submission, if not for him, if not for Dusty, maybe for America. I don't know why, but you want to see Anthony Ogogo get beat. And that says a lot when given the ball so early in your career, being a former boxer, didn't even know about his disability. I have a number two for that reason. I was sold.
Yeah, this was a big moment for him. And I think now I get what we're going to see between him and Cody. As wrestling fans, we become very accustomed to people winning with the same move as soon as they use it. And I think Ogogo is going to be one of those guys that it's not going to be a one hit and it's over situation. I think it's going to be, you know, the hit and then can Cody get up? The hit again, can he get up? How many will it take and how many can Cody take? And it's going to be the story. I think we're going to see it Double or Nothing.
Very astute observation. Why not, man? How many times you get beat? I think Ethan Page. How many times you can get beat up and come back for more?
Yeah, it'll be. I think that one is going to be the most interesting match at Double or Nothing in how it plays out. And I don't know. We'll either see. You know, I know Dylan Matthews chanting USA, 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 USA in the chat
Aussie,
here.
Aussie, Aussie,
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. We. But it'll be very, it'll be either he wins or we have a new star in Anthony Ogogo going forward. Because if you get a win over Cody, you're a title contender, in my opinion.
Yeah, we didn't think about the late Brody Lee the same way until he got that TNT championship, right? I mean, it's a possibility here. I mean, it's no title. It's probably going to be in the middle of the show. It's even though on paper and logic tells me Cody has this, but there's a lot of reasons or ways that Cody cannot have this. This may be the most unpredictable match on the card.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch for sure. Someone who's been fun to watch is the Farmers Market pick. Now, Flobo, let me explain this to you so you kind of understand what Farmers Market means. So my name is Jack Farmer, and I like to think of the wrestlers as stocks, like the stock market. And I like to say which wrestler's stock is going to go up soon. They're also, we're looking at Dark, AEW Dark, AEW Dark Elevation. It's all the fresh talent, like a fresh farmer's market. Farmer's market.
Yeah.
That's what this segment is all about. So this week's
the
farmers-
conviction you do every week with this bit. We know what it is. It's just, let me explain to you. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Well, you know, I don't know if people really understand, so I've got to explain it. This week's farmer. Oh, Dylan, look, Dylan, thank you so much. In the chat, Dylan says, I'm so glad Jack explained Farmer's Market. I've never heard of this before.
He knows what he does. I'm sorry, Dylan. You know what you did? He's going to explain it again to you next week.
So it's good to know. So that's why I explain it. But the Farmer's Market pick, the person you should invest in right now is Kylan King, one of the regulars on AEW Dark and Dark Elevation. And over the past few months has upgraded her music, upgraded her ring gear, and a few weeks ago started aligning with Red Velvet and Big Swole. She's 6'1" and has a win record of 10-3, and having just lost a match due to the use of a foreign object by the Bunny. But I think the fact that it took a foreign object to get the job done from someone as talented as the Bunny says a lot. And the fact that Big Swole and Red Velvet are signing off on her is a bit like seeing a startup sign contracts to work with major companies. It means it's just a matter of time before their stock takes off. And I believe the same is true of Kylan King.
Kylan King is one of the few rare talents that you've kind of seen over time. And I'm glad that she qualifies, selected, as part of Farmer's Market, because there is something a brewing there. Not sure what that means, but I definitely think the changes are afoot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She can be a, she's going to be a star, I think, going forward, or at least a bigger part of that division. Like I said, it's been a nice slow, I think she's going to have that S curve kind of growth where she's been kind of slowly growing, and then things are going to start clicking, and then to the moon, as the kids say. So that does it for the show. Flobo, you've stayed your hour. Any comments, concerns you'd like to bring up? Anyone I left off? Anyone that should have been mentioned higher? Let's hear it.
No, this Christian has to be number one from now on. But the people want to know, with a special time of Dynamite, are we doing a special episode of Elite of the Week?
That is still TBD. We're going to have to take a look at the old calendar and the old scheduling system to see what's going on there. I'm hoping to, but I will have more information for you next week.
Okay.
Who is your top three?
Oh, sorry. I threw my book. We were explaining Farmer's Market. I had Christian number one, Anthony Gogo number two, and Kingston and Moxie number three, with the best dress being Rebel Nat Reba and the dud being Red Velvet.
All fair choices there. But that does it for us. Why don't you let the world know where they can find you online?
Oh, yeah. It's your boy Flo Pizza. I'm on two places on interwebs. One, book me in Southern California to be your MC, your DJ, your host, or anything, or even your video game caster at flobito.com. That's FLOBITO.com. And this dude has a bunch of other shows, including Draped in Gold and What's the Flow After Hours. Learn more about that at newamsterdam.com, KNEWAmsterdam.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, and my calendar is full. I'm chatting WWE Raw with all the fellas over at Wrestling Inc. every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, right after Raw's over. Also doing Anytime Radio, counting down the top 10 songs of the week every week. This week, my old chum Andrew Trago joins me, so we have a fun chat about all sorts of things. Also, Draped in Gold with Flobo, Everything Tournament with Flobo, Evan, and Heidi. And then, of course, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is just churning and burning and taking off and doing great things. Check that out every weekend. You can see it on local broadcasting like KDOC, Fight TV, and, of course, streaming on YouTube. You can also buy a shirt, realjackfarmer.threadless.com. That does it for us. And until next time, folks,
jump for Jesus.
Jump for Jesus. And do your best and be yourself.